Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom's Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Wow. I guess, you know, get kind of run-dumb doing this.
That's why we got to change things up occasionally.
It is what it is. Anywho, I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, today I just feel the heaviness of thanks. I sometimes feel like I spend too much time focused on the wrong things, and I just want to say thank you for all the things that I'm not paying attention to. Thank you for the challenges that you allow me to go through because you trust in me. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here and to try to do your will. Father, we ask that you inhabit the space and give us the words and give us the conversation to have to help your people. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Been a pretty crazy week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm legally allowed to talk about this over the air.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'll just kind of lay it down like this. We had a pretty tragic accident at work yesterday.
Mm. Yeah.
Two people got hauled off in an ambulance. Not good. It's just a polite reminder that, you know, even when you think you have the easiest job, sometimes it's one of the most dangerous.
Yeah.
The worst part about it all is there were significant injuries sustained.
Yeah.
It's a sad deal.
The crazy thing is things can happen in anything and in any industry, but you and I work in two industries that are very dangerous, can be very dangerous. I'm in distribution industry. So you're talking about driving trucks and, you know, mass using warehouse equipment and things like that. Yeah. You guys excavate the earth,
yeah.
You know, and crush rock and stuff like that. And it's really a polite reminder. And we've talked a little bit kind of jokingly about safety on this show. And it's because that's the life we live. Right. And so sometimes you take that stuff for granted.
Yeah.
Right. You know it. And so you get a little too confident, and sometimes bad things happen when you take stuff for granted.
Yeah.
You know,
anyways, the reason I bring that up, is anybody listening or anybody that has anything to do with this, would greatly appreciate your thoughts and your prayers.
Yeah, for sure.
For what's going on.
Yeah. Families everybody affected.
I mean, obviously these guys are probably the breadwinners of their family, and it's not a situation where they won't be taken care of. It's just a situation of the disruption in their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Just the disruption of their lives. I don't know what the level of injury or, you know, if it was mortal or fatal or anything like that.
No.
Could be a permanent change in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the part of it that I kind of got to tread carefully. I don't know if I'm at liberty to talk. We haven't had the full investigations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand.
All that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But the only reason I was bringing it up was anybody listening, anybody watching, if you would, please keep them in your prayers.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we were talking about, we just finished this conversation about, you know, the false leading and the things that some of the videos that we use.
How, cause we don't want to perpetuate the problems.
Yeah.
And we don't want to guide anybody in the wrong way. I truly believe that we focus so much on trying to be honest and not guide people in a wrong way that hopefully, again, we talk to God about it too. Like, are we going to trust it? I think we should trust him that he's not going to allow us to falsely guide people. Yeah. But at the same time, sometimes when we see things and start to talk about them, you start to have a little bit of a concern maybe.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. Are we like trusting in ourselves and not in him? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so it's because some of the videos that we pull up, it sounds like a pretty heated way of thinking about things. You know, for instance, that one video, we talk about the pronunciation of Jesus' name. You know, she called him Yeshua,
Joshua, Joshua.
All these different names. And my question to you was, when we open those videos and we start to discuss that, are we doing the same?
Sure.
Which you had a very good point.
Yeah,
made me feel a lot better.
Well, the point was we're using it as a springboard to continue to like open conversation. We're not like saying they're right or wrong. We're not going out there and, you know what I mean? We're not defending it. We're just saying, hey, maybe there's another way of thinking about things. You know what I mean?
Take the legalistic side out of the whole situation.
Yeah. I mean, really.
You had a very interesting point. And I like how you worded it, because you said you're not blaming, but it started here.
Yeah.
And you're talking about in the church.
In the church, yeah.
And as humans, you know, there's a lot of us that we are very legalistic. Like, we have to perfect this certain thing when we actually, in all honesty, we can't.
Correct. Correct. The only perfect one. A few weeks ago, there was a video we played. A gentleman was talking about, I could be your hero, baby. Do you remember that video? He must have been Jamaican or something like that. But he was talking about how, like, the church is teaching you two things. Rely on Jesus because you can't, and be God because you have to be perfect. You know what I mean? And like, if you can do it by yourself, then you don't need Jesus.
Dude, that was I wish we had that video, because that was such a great video.
Let me see if I have it saved in here.
That was a great video, and I like the presentation of it, how he was. Dude, that's a good one too.
Which one?
The one with the lead singer of Korn.
Oh yeah,
that dude. I
love that, because
that's a crazy lifestyle change.
I mean, you're talking about going from being basically, I don't have that video saved. Basically being
totally, I mean, the rock star world. Yeah. Totally
the rock star.
Living the rock star lifestyle.
Yeah.
And fame, and fortune, women, drugs,
I mean, everything.
Every single thing. And he just like,
and he changed his life. And
Jonathan
he went
Davis.
On
the, Jonathan Davis. Isn't it?
Jonathan Davis from Korn?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Good job. I didn't remember that. I'm looking for his face because I think, oh, there it is right there.
I'm going to say something that people may misunderstand, and that's their problem. You don't go to hell because of sin. You go to hell because you rejected Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus being present, he's the one who takes that away from you, and you go to heaven because of him. Religion teaches you to perfect yourself, which is a fool's errand, because it will never happen. And if you can perfect yourself, then you have become God.
Amen.
Such a good representation.
I mean, seriously.
Then you have become God. So with one hand, people are teaching people to depend on God, but on the other hand, they're telling you to save yourself. Do you know what it means to need a savior? You remember that song? Who is it? I can be your hero, baby. I can take away the pain.
Classic.
When you need a hero, it means you're powerless.
True.
Amen.
When you need a hero, it means you have no strength. But Jesus is not just a hero. He's your savior. I'm going to...
It's a completely different thing.
Well, but here's, and I hate to keep reusing stuff, but it does bring up an interesting point. You know, I mean, the fact that we do all indulge in that, we have to save ourselves, and that's, dude, you're beating your head on a brick wall all day long.
Yeah.
If you think it's going to help.
Yeah. We've described that that lifestyle in so many ways. And like, we're guilty of it, right? Like, I'm not, we're not sitting here saying that we're not, but like, it's hamsters on a wheel. It's this repetitive reel to reel film going on in our mind. It's this record player broken, but big, repeated over and over and over again. It's like, there is freedom available to us. Yeah. We just have to take hold of it. You made the description not too long ago about it. Like it's, there's a dude on the street that's got $1,000. Like, here you go. Here's $1,000. All we have to do is grab it.
Yeah.
Not much is required of us. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. When it's tangible.
It's so easy.
Every single one of us will grab it.
Yeah.
Especially the root of all evil.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, if someone's waving money in your face and all you got to do is reach out and grab it, we're quick. We got ninja skills.
I like that. I like that money that jingles, but I like it better when it folds. You know what I mean? Come on,
but
man.
We got ninja skills. But when you're talking about all you have to do is reach out to Jesus, like just. And it, I know it's not something you can physically touch.
No,
but it's something you can spiritually feel. I mean, I don't know. I'm not speaking for everybody.
Yeah,
but like when you feel the presence. And you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get those chills you talked about. You get like almost like hot flashes.
Yeah, hot. Yeah.
It's a.
It can be both.
It's something that you know. Like, I'm getting it right now. Like, I feel like it's like, hey, go ahead, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Holy Spirit's filling the space, and He's filling your mind. And
where
like,
two or more are gathered in my name.
Yeah. And when I say the church, look, we are the church. It's not like that. But like what we consider from a societal view of church, it's the religious stuff, right? Religion is teaching a legalistic way of living. It's been doing it forever, right? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do right, but what do we learn from Scripture? Over and over and over again, we're not capable. The good things come from life with Christ.
Okay, so this is going to kind of throw our conversation way off kilter, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Dax.
Dax,
he's a rapper.
Okay,
he's kind of starting to get into like some Christian based songs.
Okay,
and one of his songs is "Dear God."
Okay,
and in it he says, "Why is there only one you in so many religions?"
Yeah.
So, immediately I Saturday I was off painting and obviously it came on my headphones, you know, and I was kind of jamming out and I was painting and everything and it come on.
Yeah.
The first thing that I can think of is the human side of things. When it talks about different religions, yes, look, Jesus is represented in so many different religions other than Christianity.
Yep.
But you take away the human, like, the way that humans present him or present good.
Gosh, yeah.
You take away all these different religions. And I'm saying strictly what I believe. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what I follow and how I feel.
Yeah.
But how is that? I mean, how do you answer something like that? Why is there only one you in so many different religions?
Yeah. It's because we don't all think alike. We don't all feel alike. We don't all believe the same things, right? Like, we can believe in the same God,
human aspect,
but yeah, of and then but not. We don't apply everything exactly the same.
So right? Yes.
Come on, let's go down this rabbit hole.
This is going to be a good one. Muslims and Christians,
right?
That's kind of a head-to-head kind of deal.
Yeah.
Other than the legalistic, like the law side of the religion,
yeah,
we all kind of feel the same.
Truthfully.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's such a cultural divide.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Jesus is even mentioned in the Quran. I mean,
yeah. Look, we have showed video. We have used references to people that are, you know, Islam views Jesus as a good prophet. Like, and he's dead, but he's actually coming back. Like, they actually believe this man's coming back, right?
Yeah. And how do you not believe that he's the Messiah?
And then Judaism doesn't, they believe he was a prophet, but they don't believe he was a good prophet, and they don't believe that he was the Son of God,
yeah.
Right? And then Christianity, which we're supposed to believe that he's the Son of God, right? And look, bro, that's a conversation that can go a million and one directions, and I don't have all the answers, so it's hard to have that conversation. There's a lot of people that have a lot more knowledge than me and you.
So what about Jehovah's Witness?
It's a Christian faith. It's still based on Jesus.
But don't they think that it's like, I don't really know anything about Jehovah's Witness.
I don't know a ton. I know a little. I know enough to know that it's still based on Christ.
But their Christ is Jehovah.
Well, Jehovah is God.
Okay.
Right. So in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, which is God who provides, God is Jehovah.
Okay.
Right. It's still Jesus. They still focus on
Christ. Don't they believe only so many people get in, though?
Yeah. Like 144,000, I think, is what it is.
It's a limited number.
It's a limited number. No, not everybody gets forgiven and taken, even if you're. And so it's like, okay, now that's not what Christ said.
Yeah.
And
if you think, if you really think about it, if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we should have eternal life, there's more than 144,000 of us in the history of humanity that are going to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. I don't know where they got it. I don't have the knowledge of that faith. They have some things that I'm like, I kind of agree with.
But they can't get like blood transfusions and...
Right,
stuff
right.
Like, I mean,
okay, so if you want to go into that kind of stuff, like, look, do we believe in God or not? Do we believe God works through people or not? Because yeah. That's what you're talking about. I'm going to rely on God to heal me. That's commendable and recommendable, right? But God uses people to heal, to save, yeah. Right? That's my thought process on doctors and, like, okay, I'm still relying on God's miracle to heal me through the hands of a man who he got into to train to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Now, they also don't believe in holidays like that, like giving gifts, and they don't do Christmas, and they don't, because they talking about like doing Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all that kind of stuff is you're lying to your children, right? Don't do that. Shouldn't do that. Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Social.
It's kind of like a pagan thing, basically, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of probably the way they approach it. But beyond that, it's like Santa Claus isn't real, right? Yeah. Jesus is. Santa Claus is not.
Teach your kids more about Jesus.
Yeah.
Less about Santa Claus.
Okay, I can understand
and
that.
And we apologize to any of the listeners that may have a kid with them while they're hearing this. That
Santa Claus is a discussion for you to have. Yeah,
it's not for us to have.
But. So. Seriously, like our cultural norm is that, you know, but like, look, the point of Christmas has nothing to do with Santa Claus, right? That's something that we've turned it into, and, you know, and actually the spirit of Santa Claus is a good thing. The spirit of giving to those who have not, yeah. Right? Where that all comes from was from somebody, an actual person. That's why his name is Saint Nick. Saint Nicholas is a real person that actually... gave to needy children,
yeah.
You know what I mean, at that season. That, I mean, so, yeah, it's in the spirit of something good, but, you know, of course, the human aspect, like we talked about a minute ago, the humans like to mess every damn thing up, you know what I mean? So we can get into a whole lot of craziness there, right? But, like, the truth of the matter is, like, the point he was making is, like, do we rely on Jesus? Or do we rely on ourselves, right? Jesus or God, ourselves.
Yeah.
We have established multiple times we cannot rely on ourselves, and that's why we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
So this whole thing about, well, you're not doing it right. You're not saying his name right. You're not praying right. You drink alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Come on, dude. I can't do it right. So I don't rely on me. I need to rely on Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Yeah. And so we want to get away from the legalism. And so religion, churches, quote, quote, whatever you want to call it, have used God, Jesus, God's word, weaponized it to make people feel guilty. And in my opinion, that's a work of the enemy.
Yeah.
Because the enemy does only that. He just makes you feel guilty, right? Yeah. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to feel like you're no good.
Go to that.
Which one?
Right here.
Listen.
I mean, he's talking about Judah.
Judas, this one.
Yes, Judas.
Perfect.
Judas betrayed Jesus, you sure?
Okay.
Let's go to John 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Who, guys? Who placed inside of Judas's heart to betray? The enemy guy, Satan. Oh, it does say that. Exactly. Now let's go back to 27. John, go down 25 verses to 27. John 13, verse 27. Let's read carefully, okay? Who enters who and what happens? Watch this, okay? God doesn't speak. Jesus himself in the flesh doesn't speak to Judas until this happens. Ready? Focus here, okay? John 13, 27. And after the sop, meaning the bread, Satan entered into him, Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Let me ask you a question. Who was Jesus speaking to? And who entered into Judas? See how people add their thoughts? But Judas had a choice. Where does it say he had a choice? This is why it's so dangerous. Well, didn't he have a choice? They're using their own human logical reasoning to justify their own thoughts, which is from Satan. Think about it. Satan, after the bread, jumps inside of Judas, and then Jesus tells him, you, what you do, do quickly. Who is he speaking to? He got free will. Where does it say that? Stop playing. So people sit there and they go, you choose. Who tells you that? That's what the Pharisees told. And that's what these people are saying nowadays too in this chat. You chose to do that. Take accountability for your own actions. So then you guys too, who preach that, take accountability for your actions too. What people don't understand is they are amening Satan when Satan sits there and tells them, you did this. Did you catch what I said? You are amening Satan every time he plants a thought inside of you and you take ownership for that thought. So we just proved that it wasn't Judas, it was Satan that entered him, possessed him. And let's think about it for a second. For 3 days, if Judas just waited 3 days, 3 whole days, do you think Jesus would have forgave him? Yes or no? Do you think he would have forgiven him? Of course. Then why did Judas kill himself? Why? You know why? Because he was too good. What? He couldn't acknowledge who he truly was. That's why. Make sense? His biggest sin was trusting that his thoughts were his thoughts when they were Satan's. So that's why he's going to suffer in hell. It's the same way Satan destroys you guys today. He plants things inside of you and then he makes you take ownership for it. And that's how you become the children of Satan, by condemning you. That's why in Matthew 27 verse 4, Judas says something wild. Even though the Bible says Satan entered him, Satan planted it in his heart and in his mind as well, through the thoughts. Judas says, I have sinned. I have betrayed. The right thing he should have said if he had faith in God was, no, Jesus, I was deceived by Satan. Jesus would have said, amen. I know. That's why, Judas, I told you to distrust yourself. That's why, Judas, I told you to follow me, to deny yourself. You didn't. You trusted yourself. He couldn't acknowledge how evil he was. So he said, man, I'm a person who was next to Jesus. Man, I deserve to die. What's so crazy is Peter, although Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Peter recognized and acknowledged who he was. He was a fisherman, not a fisher of men. That's the only difference. Was Judas thought he was good, so he didn't need Jesus. He sacrificed himself. Peter recognized, I'm not a good person. I'm truly evil. I give up my ministry. I give up my discipleship. And I'm going to go and fish. I don't even believe in Jesus anymore. And that's when Jesus established him. Sheesh.
All right. So for those of you that are watching us, we're going to make a little adjustment. We're going to trust that the audio quality is going to be good because we know that the audio quality is good.
The audio quality is there.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes what reminds me is my headphones. But it's the only part of doing this that I don't like. I don't like that's why you see me and I have like one ear out.
Yeah. Understood. So we're going to do it without and see how it goes. We'll see. Yeah, see you let us know. If it sucks, let us know.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. We're going to trust in God, right?
So, but anyways, that's the one thing that I love his point. And you made a point just a minute ago, a very good point about how, you know, the enemy is, you know, Jesus is like, okay, do whatever you got to do and make it quick.
Yeah. Well, the enemy didn't address Judas until the enemy entered into him is what he said. Like, and if we read the scripture basically, it says that. It says the enemy, he took the bread, the enemy entered into him. And once that happened, Jesus said to him, whatever you're going to do, do it quick. Right? He didn't address Judas himself, right? And so it kind of reminds me of that video of that one guy was talking about how we all have three parts.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll use that one probably here in a minute. But, like, there's a spirit man, there's a physical man, and then there's the soul. I think it's spirit, soul, and body, I think.
Yeah, the body, the spirit,
and the soul.
And the soul,
I think.
The
Trinity of man. So basically, the enemy entered into the physical body and took control of the spirit, right? And so, look, we could go on and on and on about, we've talked before about, did Judas go to hell, all that?
Yeah.
Well, the reason, if Judas is in hell, and I'm just going to say if, because I don't speak for God, right? If Judas is in hell, it's because he took himself out before he was able to receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's why.
But the
not
the,
because he took himself out.
Well, and so, and I'd asked you about this before. Judas is such a key piece to the whole story.
Yeah.
I mean, the crucifixion and the resurrection had to happen.
Had to.
Without Judas' betrayal,
right?
Does that happen? I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, not the way it,
but God's, moment, you know, like we talk God's timing and correct. how everything works out.
Yeah.
It's almost like Judas held the key.
Right.
And I see what you're saying about if he didn't get forgiveness, because Judas was an avid follower.
He was with Jesus as a disciple for 3 years, guys. Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was right. He was right there with him. He saw everything. He knew deep down in his heart who he was.
Yeah. Come on, man.
And he fudged up.
Look, he followed the direction that the enemy led him to, and then he became so distraught over what he did before Christ was resurrected, he took his own life.
Yeah. If he had waited three days.
And that was kind of the point he was making. And again, I'm not saying that this guy's right, what he's saying. It makes sense.
Yeah. Like it's an interesting point.
It's a great point. It's an interesting point. And I think that this is, it kind of goes back to the conversation we started with about the whole legalism thing. And like, things are debatable. We're able to talk about things. God's not afraid of us questioning things. God's not afraid of us having a thought like,
it's the doubt. It's the
right.
And are we
questioning
right
who he is and what he represents
right.
and some of the negative things I think right. that'll get you in trouble.
Are we bringing up that video so we can say, huh? See?
Yeah, no.
It's not like that.
No.
What it is it's compelling. It's a compelling argument. It's an interesting thought process.
Well, like we talked about opening the show.
Yeah.
The biggest fear that we always have is leading people down the wrong path.
Don't want to do that.
That's the key point
in like, the whole thing.
All we're trying to do is just draw up
a discussion.
It's worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely something worth talking about because we've talked about it before.
Yeah, of course.
So
Judas is one of those conversations that you kind of... It's one of those conversations, right? It's one of those conversations that you just kind of, you're going to end up in when you get into this relationship and get into this deeper study and deeper knowledge of
Christ. Yeah, because my first question was, how could somebody that was a disciple that was actually with him, witnessed so much, be the one that's like, you got 30 pieces of silver? This is where he's at. Come get him.
Right. Well, okay. That kind of begs the question that, okay, stay with me. Let me work through this in my mind. Okay. So in my mind, people say, okay, so God knew Judas was going to betray Jesus. So why did he allow him to betray Jesus? So he basically designed Judas to be condemned. And it's like, no, not necessarily. The truth of the matter is God knew that the enemy was going to do what he did.
Found the weakest link.
Even the enemy didn't know he was going to do it at the time, right? Because the enemy can't foresee anything.
He just chose the weakest link.
He chose the... And you know why? Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Judas was the treasurer. Yeah. What does the treasurer pay attention to?
Money.
So what's the root of all evil?
Money.
All kinds of evil.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. You want to see a good person turn into a sack of crap?
Give them a bunch of money
in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, this is yours, but this is what you got to do.
Well, and I refuse. I don't care. I want to make a pact to myself and to us, no matter what. Like, we stand on our principles. But,
okay, so put it like this. 30 pieces of silver. Ain't that what it was, like 30 pieces of silver? Mm-hmm. 30 pieces of silver back then.
It's a lot of money, dude.
It's a ton of money.
It's a lot of money.
Okay, so if someone, let's just hypothetically say,
sure,
it was essential to today's $750,000,
okay.
Not saying give up Jesus. What? Let's say the enemy is dangling that in front of your face, and he's like, "All I want you to do is tell everybody that you were wrong."
I could never do that because I won't ever believe that.
I'm not saying for what some you money? Were wrong about.
Oh, but the enemies is dangling. No,
yeah, it's somebody. It's the enemy, but he looks friendly, you know, and that's kind of his MO. He doesn't appear to you with red skin, horns, a tail, and goat's feet.
The cartoon image that we created.
Walking on two hind legs with split hooves and stuff like that. No, that's not how he appears.
Yeah.
He's going to appear to you very pleasant, very friendly.
True.
Very docile. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And he's like, all I need you to do is, you know, all this stuff that you're trying to do and spread the word of Christ, all you got to do is just stop.
No.
That's a tough one.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not saying I would, but you can look and you can see how somebody that is obsessed with, look, $750,000, that sounds real good. 750 grand, that sounds real good.
It could take care of a lot of things.
It could.
Yeah.
But it really, honestly, it's not that much.
It's really not.
You're going to be set for two, 3 years. That's it. Tops.
Yeah. Pay off a bunch of debts.
It's not lifetime wealth. It's
no. Yeah.
You're going to be able to live comfortably for half a freaking decade.
Yeah.
Well, and at best, you know what I mean?
That's why, though, what we do is I want to make sure that we maintain that, right? Like, we maintain the control that, and whatever level of control we actually have, like, I just want to maintain no matter what we get into.
Right now, we have full control.
100%. So much control that it's like, we need to give someone else control.
Well, crap.
It's a lot.
But here's the thing about this. The one thing that I really love about what we do and how we're governed yet not governed is that it's our control. The only way we can get canceled is if someone says Christian podcasts can't be allowed anymore.
Good luck. I'll still do it.
And that's it. I mean, there's nobody that can say, oh man, you guys talked about this. We're pulling all your sponsorship. What sponsorship?
I don't got any.
We don't have nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
we've done it all ourselves.
Everything that's sponsored is coming out of our own pockets.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's really cool. Like, yeah, it would be good to monetize and yeah. have to be able to spend more time doing this, do more research, do more things so that the people that are actually listening to us actually get the best version of us, because it's really hard to do. Like, dude, you're doing editing, you're doing all the promotional stuff, you're doing everything. I mean, I'm here all smiles. That's
you're
what
the
I'm
eye candy,
for.
Baby.
Whatever. I'm here all smiles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But we got full-time jobs, we got full-time lives, we got full-time wives, we got all this stuff that takes a lot of time and effort. It's really hard to, there's no prep time. We prep for 30 minutes before we started recording.
I mean, honestly.
Every Tuesday.
That's and like, it. I love the organic nature of that. There are times when we come into this and it's like, actually the last few weeks, we still had great episodes, don't get me wrong, but there were some uncomfortable times there where I was like, I'm not real sure if we're going to have a podcast today. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't much to talk about. There wasn't much. I mean, it just felt like it was going to be tough. We still had a good podcast every single episode, right? Yeah. Like, a couple weeks but there, we went in wild directions.
Well, okay, so how I feel about it, and I'm sure it's probably similar, not exactly, but it's probably similar. We're pretty similar in our mindset and how we approach things.
Yeah.
How I feel about it a lot of the times is I want to bring fresh. I want to bring new, but I still want it to be the same. I still want it to have the same impact. I want it to be organic. I want it to be not rehearsed, not robotic. We talked about this when we just recorded our commercial for this week.
Yeah.
We switched it up because it was like, oh, man, you know, we're not getting any feedback. We're not
It's the only thing that I feel like we're rehearsed. And it's not even rehearsed, but it felt a little robotic, a little blocky.
Yeah, it feels very robotic.
Yeah.
That's why when I watched it and I started going through the past commercials, I'm like, we're not really getting anywhere with these, but let's just try doing something a little different to open up with.
Yeah.
The reason that I'm saying all that is we do every single thing that we do from the seat of our pants based solely off, like, in the prayer we say every time we open the episode, give us some words, like, fill me with you, take me out of the equation.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah.
Right? It goes back to that conversation we had last week about that prayer that I had to do, or I got to do and all that kind of stuff. And it's like,
yeah, you prepped, you did all the legwork, yeah, you did
remove
all
me from the
conference. Rehearsed it, and then you got up there and it was like, nope, that's not what you're talking about.
Have y'all ever
today?
Watched Harry Potter and pulled the memory out of his head out of the freaking wand? That's how it felt like. It just all disappeared, but in a good manner, right? Like, I think it served its purpose because I needed to be removed from the equation. Because what's the number one problem? People. In our mind.
That right there.
But people are the number one problem. It's not God. It's not Christ. It's not even the enemy. It's us and our inability to filter out the enemy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
There you go.
It's the enemy is a huge, I think that is the number one problem, but the problem with the enemy is that as humans, we let him in too easy. We get distracted by all the stuff going on around us, and we start dwelling in the negativity, and we start doing all that stuff that we really let him have a stronghold.
Yep.
I mean, this dude lives in our head rent free all the time.
Rent free, bro.
And
come on.
Why?
That's a great question. And it's like, you know who
I am.
He's
the great deceiver.
He is the father of lies. Yeah.
He's good at it.
Designed. I don't think he's designed to lie, but he has just gotten very good at it.
I can tell you in I can count on both hands how many times today, for no reason, I go from being in a good mood and thinking positive to, well, what if this is happening?
Goodness gracious.
What if that's happening? well, what about this? You know, I mean,
happened to me earlier. I mean, at least a handful of times I know where I'm like, I feel good. Like I know my direction and I'm like, I'm leaning in to God. And like, I know what he wants from me. And then within 5.5 milliseconds, I'm like, oh, but is it? I got this. And like, what am I doing? Come on, man. Like, but the truth is, again, that it goes all the way back to it. Like our confidence isn't us, though. Yeah. That's the problem. We keep focusing on us.
So this conversation right here, please pull up this video because he makes this point.
God is a Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when God made us in his image, he made us a Trinity. We're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit. So if a man is not complete, if he doesn't have that faith, he's only 2/3 of a man. You have men who are all about going to the gym and working out, building muscles, their haircut, the clothes they wear. That's a third. That's 1/3 of a man. They will not sit down and read poetry. They won't go to a museum and look at artwork. They won't get in touch with the soul. And they for sure will not read the Bible and go to church. They are ignoring 2/3 of the Trinity that is them. And so if you ignore faith, you're never going to be a complete man. You have to focus equally on all three parts of the Trinity that you are.
Yeah. You got to focus on all three parts of the Trinity that you are. I took that off the screen. My bad. Hold on. I'll put it back up there.
Well, I just.
God is a Trinity. Comment. There is.
Keep going. It's this AJ right here. Please, it says, please read. I will sit here and say, growing up, I only accepted Jesus Christ because I was taught. Later on in life, I wanted to do my own things. Drugs, giving into sexual immorality, all types of.
I got to open up the whole thing, I think. Hold on.
All types of evil behavior. Out of faith, I asked God through the name of Jesus to deliver me, and he did. I had just become a father, put my beautiful, now wife, through hell, but skip to now, God has blessed me and delivered me from what I guess I asked out of pure mercy and grace. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, my God, the one true God made flesh. Sometimes it feels like I have no faith, but since I put that faith in that one moment, he has never left me. I can honestly say I have felt God's presence. I feel like I've heard his voice. The God of the Bible is the one true God.
He will never, there's more.
He will never leave you. But you have to take the leap of faith, be honest with him. Jesus said, if you be lifted up, he would draw men unto him. Give him a chance. You will never be the same. You can't mess up faith.
Woo.
It goes on a little
bit. He continues on. That's a long, and I don't know who AJ is, but AJ, thank you for sharing with the group with that there.
Yeah, like, I mean that's
you know, you're throwing your testimony out there for everybody to see, and it kind of, you know. Again, we just kind of went into a little soliloquy.
Well, but here's the thing about that. What that reminds me is that public profession of faith.
Yeah, yeah.
He's admitting right now, like, hey, look, dude, this is who I was. I was not, you know, I was walking in all the things that the Bible says not to walk in.
Yep.
And it sounds to me like at his lowest, he'd just become a father. He's putting his now wife through hell.
Yeah.
He decided, okay, enough's enough.
It reminds me of something that we've seen at our church or heard at our church a couple of times where pastor talks about sinner saved by grace. He's like, you can't be both. You can't be a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. And that's it. Do I still sin? Yeah. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Quit. We're like acknowledging our sin when we do that.
Giving power to that.
Yeah, basically.
You're basically taking away the importance of the crucifixion and the resurrection. You're dumbing it down for absolutely no reason. It's the most, it's the biggest impactful positive thing that could happen to humankind. And you're dumbing it down to a small piece of nothing saying like, look, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. And we're all sinners.
Yeah.
That's how we were made. The sin started from day one. When God said, let there be man.
Yeah.
And he saw that it was good, and he created a woman.
Yep, out of the rib
of
the man.
Yeah, and then they go and they eat from the tree of knowledge and truth. knowledge and life.
Life and death or good life, and evil. Yeah,
whatever it is. They go and eat an apple. You know, there's a serpent. Tell them, oh, but he didn't tell you why you can't eat from that tree. He just
said you shouldn't do it.
You just shouldn't do it. Like, oh, the fruit's so good. Yeah, it's good. It's because now it's going to cost you everything.
Well, you know what? It's because we focus on the here and now, and we focus on we just think that God's trying to take something away from us all the time, and that's what the enemy does, right? The enemy, that's what the enemy did. He twisted up God's word. He said, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And even Eve called him out, and she was like, no, he just said I can't eat from that one. And the enemy goes, it's because he doesn't want you to be like him. I don't want you to have that knowledge. That's why you can't eat from that tree.
My favorite part of that whole story is when God's like, where are you? And he comes out, well, I didn't want you to see me naked. And he's like, who told you were naked? Like, how do you know that?
How did you know? Yeah. You shouldn't know that.
Yeah, it's something that you shouldn't even be concerned with.
Right. And that's the point, right? And it's like the enemy took God's word and he twisted it up and he made Eve believe, because he's the great deceiver, that God was trying to withhold something from her. And that's what he does to us. And that's why we focus on the things we don't have, right? The money, the you know, all the different things.
Or the shortcomings, where we fail.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yep. All the things.
Man. All the BS little details that we think are huge events, and it's like, dude, look, life is too short anyways. I'm gonna say this in all honesty. It seems like just yesterday I was having my first kid.
Gosh, yeah, you ain't lying.
Dude, she's fixing to be 26 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My oldest just turned 28.
Yeah, she should be 26 next March.
27, sorry.
She'll be 26 next March.
Crazy, dude.
Bro.
Heaven's fast.
I shouldn't say she's fixing to be 26. She's 25. My oldest is 25. 25 years old. It seems like it was yesterday. Life is flying by right now.
Zips.
Yeah.
Bro, today's, okay, we'll go back to it. Episode 72. Feels like yesterday we were prepping for 52.
Huh.
I mean, seriously.
It also feels like yesterday we were sitting at this little dinky-ass table.
I wish we had a picture.
I
of
do
that.
Too.
We don't bro, have a picture.
Hey,
of
it was like a, it was a little desk, like a 3-foot by 5-foot desk. Yep. Not even that big.
Yep.
It was probably 2-foot by 4-foot desk.
I think it was, 2x4.
And it was sitting by, it was sitting up against the wall, and we were sitting there and we had the TV hanging and we were like this. We're like looking at the TV and then we were talking to each other like this. We're like this the whole time. Like, I mean, and then when I look at the camera, I realize how ridiculous I look. I'm like, we're talking like this, like.
And the TV was like inches from our
you're talking about, I don't know, what is that, 42?
I think it is a 42,
yeah. 42-inch TV, 4 inches from our face. And it's like, you look up and then you look back and it takes a minute for my eyes to focus because I've been looking at that thing.
It's really bright and your eyes are all jacked up.
We had we didn't even know what we were doing.
It's crazy. You know what? And it's something that we mentioned at the beginning when we very first started. Like, it's going to be cool to see how it evolves over time and, like, what the difference is between day one and day, you know, whatever.
Okay, so it really has changed at an exponential rate.
It's fast, yeah.
It really has changed. One, like, we have actually a dedicated spot.
It's cool, too.
We have...
If y'all can see it.
It is really cool. We have like purpose. We have goals. They're sitting right there. We talk all the time about how we have vision.
Yep.
All that stuff. Man, that's great. Yep. But if you look at how much it's evolved just since day one, the visions are really prospering. They're starting to come to fruition. You know what I mean?
They start to take life.
Yeah, we're gaining traction.
Yeah. And you know, the podcast itself gets more and more, you know, hits and more likes.
Yeah, I don't know the analytics. That's kind of your end of it. But
I try not to focus on it anymore. I used to focus too much on it.
Good. It's good. I raised you young and grasshopper. Raised you good, young grasshopper.
I will look at it occasionally. So I have to go to the website to put our content, to upload it and schedule it. I have made it a point to not check the analytics most of the time, but about once every, at least every 2 weeks, I'll look and see, hey, where are we at on plays? You know, where are we at on that kind of stuff? We continue to evolve our content and try to make it a little bit different, a little fresher, try to make it more not just entertaining, but make it something that's palatable and something that people want to see. And
you want it to be something that reaches people.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're just here for.
You don't want to have the same crap all the time.
Right. I mean,
you want it to be something. We set out, we had a goal, keep God first. We do want to keep that as a priority. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's our number one goal. Our number one goal is to make sure that God is first. This is His mission that He planted inside of our hearts, right? It was a seed that has grown into a plant. You know what I mean? It was
a seed that got planted into you first.
Right.
And I just come along at the right time, and as soon as you brought it up, it's like, well, when do we start?
Where were we? Where you been all my life? Well, and, you know, the whole idea behind it, the goal, okay, look, I will never sit here and tell people I don't have dreams, right? And I don't have goals. And, like, I don't want to – would I love to be like, you know, Joe Rogan, George Janko, the Kelsey brothers? Would I love to be like that? Sure. But if that's God's will, that'll happen. Yeah. There's nothing that's going to stop it. My number one priority is to make sure that God is first, that we're honest.
Yeah.
Right. And that we continue to be consistent, period.
Yeah.
I don't care how big it gets. I guarantee you, I can name you at least 3 to 5 people right now that are actually impacted. And that's the only people that I know.
Yeah. When we started, we said one.
One is enough.
If it reaches one person, then we're doing it.
One's enough.
We're doing it.
You're doing it. Yeah, one is enough, right? So truth of the matter is we may be reaching 50. Or there's 50 that are dedicated that appreciate what we're doing, that want to hear from us. And if that's it, that's enough.
It's 50 people that we fished for.
Yep. We got 50 fishes. We eating for a little while.
All right. So I'm gonna go a little better than the last dad joke for the commercial. After an unsuccessful harvest, why did the farmer decide a career in music?
Oh Lord, why?
Because he had a ton of sick beats.
He had a ton of sick beats.
I know they all suck, but that's
no, the they point. Don't. It doesn't suck, but it's like it takes a second for your brain to process why it's funny.
Those are the good ones.
I don't know if I should. It might be a little inappropriate for what we do. Ah, no, it's not. What did one old boob say to the other old boob?
If we don't start getting some support around here, people are going to think we're nuts.
Yes. I think somebody shared that with you.
Yeah.
Because she shared it with me, too. And she was like, you can't say this one on the podcast. And I was like, yes.
Bet. Watch, hold my beer. Watch this.
Why not, right? I think it's funny, and I think that it's cool to bring a little bit of a just bring some humor to it. Like, we don't want to be grotesque, obviously, but, like, come on, dude.
Trust me, I got a ton of them in the chamber, but this ain't the place for those.
We continue to ask. If you got something, you could share it with us. We got us up. I've only shared the phone number once, but we have a phone, we have an email, we have Facebook, we have Instagram. You can comment on YouTube.
The phone is for text only. Go ahead, drop the number. One last time.
I don't know it. I have to look at my phone to see it. Where's your phone? Pull it up. Pull up the contact. I don't know the number. You have to. You dude, can text this only.
That's terrible.
I don't know it. Who remembers phone numbers anymore?
You got a point there. Okay, so it's text only. If you call, there's never going to be an answer. Mm-mm. It's 806-678-1480.
678-1480.
Text us with information, concerns, prayers,
yeah,
jokes.
Absolutely.
Reach out. You can hit us up. Let us, you know, tell us anything. Just don't call. That phone is never going to get answered.
There's not somebody there to answer that phone. we're going to go back to Marcus Aurelius because apparently he was a very wise man. And I think it kind of fits to what we were talking about today in some ways. Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth.
Woo!
That's pretty strong.
Preach.
Preach! That's my new tagline.
Listen, man, thank you guys so much for joining in. If you, like, we gave the number out. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, anything, we're not going to call you out. We're not going to call you by name. We'll just say a little prayer for you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, sir.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
I'm John.